morning, everyone. Welcome to our approval, Bay Area UASI approval meeting for January 12th, 2023. We decided to go virtual in light of the storms that we have all been experiencing and the really incredible damage that many of our representative counties have experienced. So I want to thank everybody who was able to make it today. Of course, today is the one day we have a break in rain, but I think we're all glad that we are not out traveling and that we're able to flex and do this virtually. So, sorry, let me just get my slide deck going. Do you want me to read the AB 361 or is someone else going to read that?
I'll read it.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Jackie, can you go to the next slide, please? Brown Act notice. Under AB 361, local agencies are authorized to hold a Brown Act meeting remotely for the express purpose of protecting attendees from imminent risks to health and safety. Due to the proclaimed weather-related state of emergency, approval authority members will be participating in the meeting remotely at the same extent as if they were physically present. And next slide, please. Public comment. The approval authority will take public comment on each item on the agenda. The persons addressing this approval authority on an agenda item shall confine the remarks to that particular agenda item. It is also the approval authority policy to include general public comment as a separate agenda item at the conclusion of the meeting. Members of the public may only address matters within the approval authority's jurisdiction and that have not appeared elsewhere on the agenda for that meeting. Best practices are to call from a quiet location and when called upon, speak clearly and slowly. Alternatively, you may submit public comment by email to uazimt.dem@sfgov.org. I also want to let everyone know that the meeting is being recorded and will be shared on the BayAreaUAZI.org website at a later date. And as a friendly reminder, please keep your cameras off and yourself muted unless you are speaking. Thank you. Next slide. Call to order, Chair Carroll.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Beekman, I see that your camera is on. We're asking people to keep the camera off until they are up for public comment, if you don't mind. It's just distracting from the presentation.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Beekman. We're going to call to order. General Manager Disick, will you call, do roll call? Thank you.
Madam Chair. And in the roll call, please, you know, state your name and your jurisdiction. Beginning with the City and County of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll, present.
County of Alameda.
Rich Lucia, Undersheriff, present.
The City and County of San Francisco.
Erica Artiseros Brown, Fire Department, present.
The City of Oakland.
Jessica File, Oakland Fire Department, present.
The City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, City of San Jose, Office of Emergency Management.
Okay. City of Santa Clara, County of Santa Clara.
Dana Reed, County of Santa Clara, present.
The County of Contra Costa.
Tom Chalk, Contra Costa, present.
The County of Marin.
Craig Scardina, Marin County Sheriff's Office, present.
The County of Monterey.
Keith Boyd, Monterey County Sheriff's Office, present.
The County of San Mateo.
William Young, San Mateo County Sheriff's Office, present.
And the County of Sonoma. Okay, I've not seen them or heard from them. Madam Chair, we do have a quorum.
Thank you. Thanks, Craig. And again, for folks that came in late, I just want to thank everyone who, from my fellow approval authority members for being here. I'm glad we were able to flex to virtual. And I just want to, you know, express my support to everybody. I know some of the counties represented here have had quite a time in the last 10 days, 2 weeks. And if we have time at the end of the meeting, when we do round table, you know, I hope to hear a little bit about how folks are doing and if there's ways that we can support through the UASI. So next slide. All right, so we are going to do approval of the minutes. And so this is a action item, of course. Do we have any comments from approval authority members about the minutes from our last meeting? Just raise your hand and help me out here, team. I think I see, I do not see any hands raised from the approval authority, so I will assume that we can move to public comment on this item. I see our guest, Mr. Beekman, has his hand up. Please go ahead, Mr. Beekman.
Hi, thank you. I hope you can hear me okay. I didn't know the you had switched meeting procedures, and so I appeared here at the usual place, the Alameda County Sheriff's, and no one was here. So they very nicely offered me a room off to the side, and so I'm sitting here up in Dublin right now. And just thanks for the meeting. And boy, in coming here on the BART, I counted it over 25 mudslides on the hillsides, you know, coming up to the 580. And so, boy, it's been quite an interesting few weeks of rain here. And good luck how we address these things. I think the low-lying areas of the Bay Area, I think that should be really of note, too, of what I think the sea level rise issues are starting to be felt and understood more. So good luck in our efforts towards these things. I just wanted to take the meeting minutes time to offer, I guess, my usual in the hopes of, I guess Gary Millay has moved on, and I think he did some really good work during the public meeting process of the approval authority meetings that he'd usually have questions during the meeting that I think helped the process really well. And So I thank him for that. He also, his one of his contributions is creating a meeting minutes process where, as approval authority persons, you can look at, refer to, make references to previous meeting minutes when quotes are made, when people say things. And I think that's really, that's an in-depth way to really talk about the future of meeting minutes. On my end, it's my hope that you can learn how to simply add one or two sentences in the future. I made it a point for years now. One or two sentences in the future that can offer the concepts of what people were saying during the meeting. It summarizes what people were saying. It can be done. And the BTA in the South Bay and East Bay Community Energy are two public meeting sources that use the meeting minutes well. They offer good examples of that you could refer to. I really hope we can do those sort of efforts to summarize better the meeting minutes process with just one or two sentences, three sentences. It's a good effort that I hope we
30
can
30 seconds remaining.
Do. Thanks for the timing, the timer, I needed it. Yeah, so overall, good luck on how to work on such issues, and I hope you can, and I'll be more than willing to help. Thank you.
Thank you. So any other public comment? I am not seeing any. Mr. Beekman, it would be helpful if you could take your hand down and then put it up for the items that you would like to speak to. Thank you so much. And remember to take your camera down after you are finished. So, colleagues, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Alameda County, a move to approve the minutes.
Santa Clara County seconds.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? How do we do? I can't remember.
Madam Chair, since it's virtual, we would have to do a roll call again.
Okay, go ahead.
Scott?
Sure. City and County of San Francisco?
Mary Ellen Carroll, aye.
County of Alameda?
Rich Lucia, aye.
City and County of San Francisco?
We can come back to that later.
City of Oakland?
Jessica File, aye.
City of San Jose?
Ray Reardon, aye.
County of Santa Clara?
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa?
Tom Chalk, aye.
County of Marin?
Craig Scardina, aye.
County of Monterey?
Keith Boyd, aye.
County of San Mateo?
William Young, aye.
County of Sonoma? And then should we circle back to Erica or Seraphs? Or
Erica, are you there?
Yes.
In either case, we do have a yes for the approval.
Yes, the ayes have it.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Thank you. Let's move on to our next item. Is our general manager's report. So I turn this back over to Craig Deesick. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few items on my GM report. An update regarding our grants. At the end of the year, December 29th, the President Biden signed the Consolidated Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2023. And the UASI's allocations is exactly the same as 2022, which was $615 million. That I'm not sure whether or not we're going to get the exact same amount, only because it really depends upon other things, the state retention fund amount, as well as whether or not there are more UASIs that would be added for funding. With the approval, then the next step would be the risk methodology report would be coming out pretty soon in January. And then we're looking at a NOFO for fiscal 2023 in February. Moving on to the next item is our state retention fund. As you may know, each year, Cal OES retains 18.5% of our allocation, which equates to roughly around $6.8 million. We've asked Cal OES before the end of the year if they could break down and give us an inventory of how they spend that money. Notwithstanding LA, the Bay Area contributes the second amount of the largest pot for that retention amount. And the total is $24,767,000. Next slide, Jackie, please. The table, I'm not going to go into the individual itemizations, but the table gives you an idea of the breakdown on how they allocate the money throughout the state of California. Much of it goes to the staffs. You know, we received $2 million for the statewide risk management program, and then it's broken down to the Cyber Integration Center as well as the STAC and the CSTI proportion. And then the other item is the upcoming Homeland Security Conference will be held July 24th through July 27th, and it's going to be held in Chicago. The management team is putting together some presentations to be considered by the panel, promoting the work that we've been doing in the Bay Area, and which I think that is our best practices from any of the other UASCs. And then the other item, next slide, Jackie. The other item is our tracking tool. Our next meeting is going to be March 9th. We're going to give an update regarding all our projects and the programs that we've been managing, not only the UASI grant, but also the Securing the Cities grant and the TVTP grant and the Regional Catastrophic Preparedness grant. Then we will be discussing, there will be a threat briefing by the NCRIC and then an updated financial reports concerning our UASI travel expenditures. And this completes the general manager's report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to take those.
Thanks, Craig. Any questions for Craig from approval authority members? You can raise your hand or just shout out. Okay, I am not seeing any. We'll move to public comment on this item. Mr. Beekman, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Blair Beekman here. Thanks a lot for the report, for the usual regular report, I guess. You have an item, the accounting report, the last item of the agenda today, by Mr. Lavardo, who, it'll describe accounting practices and such. And I've been really interested how, the future of the new 18% of federal dollars for specific federal projects within Bay UASI and an additional 10% funding that you're also receiving for just small little things to pay for, say, NCRIC overtime work and things like that. Those two budgetary examples, I'd be hopeful to see those in the regular accounting reports in the future. And it was very nicely explained what plans will be into the next month. New plans will be offered. And in this, on item 9, on your final item today, the accounting item, you have accounting about, national projects within Santa Clara County with totals, a certain amount of totals. So you're describing some of the national projects within your memos. And I hope you can continue that and make that clear for me as the public to understand what exactly are the amounts will be the new national levels of use of projects and what projects will they be. And what is the additional 10% of just paying for overtime services and special needs? I hope that can be better described in the future as well. And thanks for the words today and good luck with the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We will go to the next item here. Item number 4, which is, election of UASI officers. So that is exciting. So at this point, this is the time of year that we take nominations for the chair and vice chair positions. And so we will start with nominations for the chair position. And so I open it up to the floor and my colleagues to present nominations.
Madam Chair, Dana Reed from Santa Clara County, I would like to nominate you and have you continue to chair the Bay Area UASI Approval Authority.
Thank you so much, Dana.
I will second that.
Thank you. I do want to open it up to any other nominations, and I will not take it personally if there are other nominations for chair. Seriously. Do we have any other nominations? Okay, well, humbly, I thank you. And we have a motion and a second. We need to, I believe, open up for public comment at this point. So, Mr. Beekman, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Blair Beekman here. Thanks for congratulations to your nomination. I've been happy with the work of Mary Ellen Carroll as head of the Approval Authority. So thank you for her. Boy, it's going on 3 or 4 years now, at least, of her work. So, yeah, I'm happy with it. I think the only thing for myself to really want to note is that in her being from San Francisco and Bayawasi kind of centered in San Francisco, they've taken a bit of a conservative turn, I feel, in the past few years that I tried to mention at the last public meeting that I hope doesn't fully affect the work that we do at Bayawasi, and that as Bayawasi, we can kind of have an advantage of being a part of several, many Bay Area cities that can offer input and ideas and ways to view issues that I hope we want to take a progressive position towards, and a position of health and human services instead of just law enforcement. Law enforcement has been pretty heavy around the Bay Area for the last few years. I'm hoping we're at a time to start to consider health and human services again, and prepared natural disaster preparedness practices and those sort of things is kind of the center of what Bayawasi could be. And good luck how we can make that an important point in our work. Thank you.
All right, team, would you do roll call for this item before we move on to the next? Thank you.
City and County of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll, aye.
County of Alameda.
Rich Lucia, aye.
City and County of San Francisco. Erica.
Erica. Let's come back to her.
Yeah. City of Oakland.
Aye.
City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, City of San Jose, aye.
County of Santa Clara.
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa.
Tom Chalk, aye.
County of Marin.
Greg Scardina, aye.
County of Monterey.
Keith Boyd, aye.
County of San Mateo.
William Young, aye.
County of Sonoma. And then Erica, City and County of San Francisco.
Yes, Eric Artiseros Brown, aye.
Okay, the ayes have it unanimously.
All right, thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for the nomination and your confidence in me. I am open to feedback from all of you colleagues at any time, but appreciate the work that we do. And we will move on to the next item, which is the election of our vice chair. I will open it up to nominations for the vice chair seat of the Approval Authority. Nobody wants to. Let's see. Do we have any? Okay. And not hearing anything. I will.
Sorry, Mary Ellen.
Go ahead.
It's Rich Lucia. I lost the audio, so I don't.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Did you have a nomination, Rich?
No, I don't.
Okay. So, I in lieu of not having any other names coming up, we also welcome self-nominations. I'd like to nominate Rich Lucia then to continue in the vice chair role. Do we have a second?
Keith Boyd from Monterey will second.
Thank you. And Rich, you accept the nomination?
I do. Thank you. And thank you to the board for your confidence. I know there was some question about whether I was going to continue with the sheriff's office, but obviously I did. And I will be around for a number of more years. So thank you.
Wonderful, Rich. And we're glad for it. We'll open up to public comment at this time.
Hi, Blair Beekman here. I'll keep it short for this item. Thank you. Congratulations to the new vice chair. Hope you can continue his good work and good efforts that we all are familiar with. I just wanted to quickly offer as an addition from my previous words that I just wanted to thank yourselves that as Bay UASI, I started first coming to Bay UASI meetings in 2015. And I've always been incredibly impressed with how yourselves kind of before major catastrophic events may take place, Bay UASI has a way in its public meetings to kind of get out the word that something may be coming and something we should be preparing. And you have a really nice way to do that. And it's really helpful. And I want to learn how to do that myself and practice it in good terms and to do the same, continue those sort of efforts. And I hope, you know, it's good open communication and good dialogue and just a positive view on life, basically, that I hope Bay UASI can continue those good efforts and we can be very honest and clear in how to really prepare for events. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And so can we do roll call for the nomination and approval of the vice chair position, which is Rich Lucia from Alameda County.
Yeah. City and County of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll, aye.
County of Alameda.
Rich Lucia, aye.
City and County of San Francisco.
Eric Artaceros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland.
Jessica File, aye.
City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, City of San Jose, aye.
County of Santa Clara.
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa.
Tom Chalk, aye.
County of Marin.
Craig Scardina, aye.
County of Monterey.
Keith Boyd, aye.
County of San Mateo.
William Young, aye.
County of Sonoma. And the ayes have it unanimously.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item five. And this is an action item that will require our approval. So I'll turn it over to Janelle from the UASI management team. Thanks, Janelle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, approval authority members. Jackie, could you move to the next slide, please? So this is item five. We have item five before you, which is the sustainment program annual reports from 2022, as well as the FY23 funding recommendations. I would like to make sure people know that all of these items, including the annual reports, are available as posted on the Bay Area UASI website. This is an action item, and we will wait for comments and ask for action at the end of the item in the report outs. So every year we come in front of you with to review and the annual plan and accomplishments of the regional sustainment programs that are funded. And today you'll be hearing from Corinne Bartshire, who will present the Bay Area Training and Exercise Annual Plan. And then she will hand it to Director Mike Senna from the Fusion Center to review the NCRIC's annual plan. Please note that since the NOFO has not yet been released, the management team current funding recommendations for these systemic projects assume that FY23, the grant will be the same as last year with the same state retention percentage, which last year was 18.5. If we receive less funding than last year, we will reduce the two sustainment program budgets proportionately. The next page has Table 1, which has recommended budgets on it for your reference. We will be coming back to you to provide final funding recommendations once Department of Homeland Security announces the FY23 award amount, and that will likely be in March, June, March or May. We're hopeful about that. And at that time, you will also, as an approval authority, be reviewing and approving the allocations for the FY23 hub projects that were recommended by the hub voting members. So again, we'll be coming back to you for those final recommendations. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Corinne Bartshire, who will talk about the Bay Area Training and Exercise Program annual plan. Corinne, take it away.
Thank you. Good morning. As Janelle mentioned, the complete Bay Area Training and Exercise Program annual report summarizing our 2022 activities is included in today's meeting materials. I'll walk you through a few highlights and then, of course, be available for questions at the end of this item. Next slide, please, Jackie. So this shows you a summary of our training deliveries in 2022 as compared to 2021. It definitely felt more like a normal year, being able to procure and conduct almost 150 courses for the region, the majority of those being in person as opposed to virtual. As we've discussed in prior approval authority meetings, we are finding a balance between offering virtual and in-person training opportunities, and we do our best to locate the in-person trainings equitably across the north, south, east, and west hubs within our region so that they're accessible for all of our UAC member jurisdictions. In the complete report, you'll find information regarding how many students were trained in each of the seven public safety discipline categories and the core capabilities that were built through our trainings this year. For the calendar year 2023, we already have 160 courses on our schedule that we are working to conduct. So if you could go to the next slide, BATEP hosted two capstone exercises this year, the annual full-scale functional Golden Eagle exercise and the Public Safety Preparedness Summit. So I want to thank you for your contribution and participation in all the agencies within and around your organizations for the success of both of these events. Golden Eagle 2022 was the final exercise in our multi-year critical transportation capability building series with 400 participants across 35 different exercise locations. And the upcoming Golden Eagle exercise for 2023 in May is going to build on the pandemic preparedness tabletop exercise series that was conducted last fall. Interested agencies are invited to join the regional initial planning meeting, which will be held next week. Next slide, please. At the Public Safety Preparedness Summit, in November, we were grateful for Mary Ellen's keynote address, along with Mike Senna's introductory remarks for Elizabeth Newman's presentation on domestic violent extremism. And Carrie Thomas from Department of Homeland Security provided helpful insight on the federal perspective and timeline of grant management. All four tracks at the summit, cyber resilience, mass notification, domestic violent extremism, and securing the cities, were very well attended. We plan to continue these tracks in the 2023 summit with the addition of a grants management track featuring discussions on compliance, procurement policies, and contracting. The dates for the 2023 Public Safety Preparedness Summit are November 14th through 16th. It will be held at the Marines Memorial Club and Hotel in San Francisco again, and we are keeping our website up to date with information on the upcoming summit, the 2023 summit. So if you could go to the next slide, Jackie. In closing, we're requesting the same allocation from the UAC funds to maintain BATEP operations. You can see here a breakdown of our budget for the fiscal year 2022 allocation across administration costs, training courses, and exercises. You'll note that in addition to Golden Eagle and the Public Safety Preparedness Summit, we are kicking off an active attacker exercise series, which will include tabletop exercises and hub-based functional full-scale exercise opportunities for hands-on tactical practice for first responders. If you have any questions, I will be available at the end of this item. And at this time, I will turn it over to Mike Senna. Jack, you can go to the next slide.
All right. Barring any questions, I'm Mike Senna. Really appreciate the introduction there. And thank you, Approval Authority members. Just wanted to give you guys an overview of kind of our operations and what happened over the last year. Next slide. We have 15 counties, a population of about 10 million that we are servicing. And our job and our mission is to protect public safety, privacy, civil rights, and civil liberties. And we do that by connecting our partner agencies, our law enforcement, our homeland security partners, our critical infrastructure partners, by informing them of what the threats are in our region, and by helping to protect our critical infrastructure and support the investigations to stop threats. Next slide. And this is just showing a distribution of our reporting by agencies, by county. And as you see, that a large portion of our reporting is around the core Bay Area, but that does not discount the potential threats that we receive and the information reports that we receive from some of our smaller counties throughout our region. And next slide. And when we look at kind of all of the things that we have done throughout this year, we have 18,743 partners that have been vetted to receive information throughout throughout Northern California. Some of the things that we've done to help them receive information is development of a single sign-on tool that allows them to have access to a number of databases, number of tools and systems, so that way we can connect information. And one of those databases and systems is the National Data Exchange. That gives them access to over 8,000 law enforcement agencies' information across the United States. We also are processing about 2.5 million points of new data every day. So there's a lot of information that we're able to provide, along with developing tools and resources. So this last year, we developed a number of dashboards for collection of information, distribution of information, and visualization of that data. And we actually were able to do a large operation this year, Operation Halo, where we were able to identify threats, potential threats, potential vulnerabilities across the United States in real time, provide real-time collaboration on a special event that was occurring in our area and across Northern California, and provide the best and seamless flow of information that I've ever seen since I've been in law enforcement. Throughout this year, we also, through our cybersecurity team, provide a number of support to our local agencies and partners, evaluate over 120 suspicious emails. We looked at and triaged and supported and responded to about 44 different incidents that were cyber-related throughout our region. We also, looking at our special events, supported a number of those events throughout our region. We had 36 of those events that we supported in person, 92 threat assessment products, and 5 in-depth vulnerability assessments. But we also had and received over 1,312 suspicious activity reports this year. 255 of those reports required our law enforcement personnel to do further follow-up to see if there is actionable information within those reports. And out of that 1,312 reports we received, about 245, or actually 245 of those reports, went to the FBI for further investigation for potential terrorist activity. When we look at kind of our overall support and our capabilities, our ability to help investigations through digital forensics evidence, we had 839 cases that we supported last year with some phenomenal results supporting agencies to give them leads to identify the suspects in some of the most heinous crimes we have throughout our region. So overall, we had a great successful year, but that doesn't mean that we aren't planning to do a lot of great things in this next year, including tabletops on better response to mass casualty events and major criminal investigations, as well as using what we learned in our Operation Halo exercise actually event last year, how to provide that real-time critical information sharing to collect data and disseminate it so that everyone can be on the same page within our region as well as across the nation. So that's my overview, probably the quickest I've ever done, but I'm trying to get better at this, guys. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
That.
Thanks to everybody. Janelle, anything you want to add?
No.
Okay.
No problem.
Thanks to presenters. Thanks to Janelle. I want to open it up to the board, to our approval authority, if there's any questions or comments for the presenters or Janelle. Jessica, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is for Corinne, and thank you for all the work you and your team have been doing, getting the training and exercises out to our community. One of the comments you had made was that you are working to equitably distribute the in-person courses, and just looking at the geographic distribution that was displayed, seeing 32 classes on the peninsula versus the rest of the classes, what are the barriers to be able to get classes in other regions?
Great question. Thank you. The number shown on San Francisco specifically is heavy because the city of San Francisco had UASI or other grant funded allocation money for trainings that BATEP supported in procuring and conducting on behalf of the San Francisco Department of Emergency Services. So I think there was about 12 to 15 courses that were funded not from our BATEP allocation, but from San Francisco that ended up in that number count. So it looks a little heavy there. But we are looking within each discipline, so the fire service courses, the emergency management courses, the law enforcement courses, within each of our disciplines, we are looking at where the courses are being offered and trying not to immediately offer the same course in the same location. And so ICS 300, 400, for example, rotating it around the region, and public information officer courses, right, having a basic course in the South Bay and the North Bay. And so we're tracking from 2020 and last year and 2021, where our courses historically have happened, and trying to keep those moving around. So I know that chart doesn't come off as looking completely equitably, but we are looking at it.
I completely understand. I thank you for that explanation.
All right. Any other questions, colleagues? All right. We can move to public comments. Go ahead, Mr. Beekman.
Hi, Blair Beekman here. Thanks a lot for this item. Excuse me. I guess to start, yeah, it seems like, you know, we've gone through a lot in the past few years. It's been kind of an overhaul for ourselves in terms of law enforcement preparedness here in the Bay Area, and with national security issues at the national level. With the election now over with our work in the Bay Area to re-understand law enforcement questions of the past few years, I hope 2023, 24, and 25, we can start to better consider again the concepts of health and human services, and continue the path of reimagine, you know, really address, you know, our future in positive terms of care and just human communication and connection, as opposed to law enforcement. Good luck in those efforts. I feel I should be noting also at this time that data collection, the question of data collection, there can be civil rights and civil protections to it that we can always be looking for and can be respected. It's important. Berkeley has made some really good gains in that area, and how much data we have to give over to NCRIC and other law enforcement agencies, there can be safeguards to that process. And it doesn't have to be so, you know, set that we have to work in certain ways. And I think it's exciting and hopeful to learn how to do that while at the same time not, you know, blocking obvious needs of, you know, data for law enforcement, but learning that it can be much more minimalized. And that's the process that I think is really interesting to learn how to do, doing the same work yet in very minimal forms and not just dumping tons of data to law enforcement, but just being very selective and needed. And learning that is, I think, enjoyable and interesting. Good luck how you can work on such issues in the next few years. And to note that if we work well together in what can be kind of a dour year, 2023, I think we all are really hopeful for what 2024 and 25 can be about. Thank you. I think we're all hopeful what 2024 and 25 can be about. And if we apply our good practices towards health and human services ideas now, that's how we build the real hopes of 24 and 25 that I think we're all waiting for and can be a good experience for entire communities. Thank you.
All right. Approval authority. We need to take a vote on this. So I am going to motion to approve and would like to call for a second.
Second from Santa Clara County.
Thank you, Santa Clara. Scott, go ahead and do roll call.
Thank you, Madam Chair. City and County of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll, aye.
County of Alameda.
Bruce Lucia, aye.
City and County of San Francisco.
Erica Artaceros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland.
Jessica Fahn, aye.
City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, City of San Jose, aye.
County of Santa Clara.
Dana Reed, County of Santa Clara, aye.
County of Contra Costa.
Tom Chalk, aye.
County of Marin.
Craig Scardina, aye.
County of Monterey.
Keith Boyd, aye.
County of San Mateo.
William Young, aye.
County of Sonoma. The ayes have it unanimously.
Thank you, Scott. We will move on to our next item, agenda number six. Amy Ramirez is going to present the risk management program kickoff. Thanks, Amy. Mm-hmm,
thanks. All right, next slide, please. So this is the actual agenda item. This is a discussion item only. There will be no need to take action on this. So some program highlights for you. So the first activity in the risk management program is the kickoff. That will be held virtually on January 24th. I will provide an overview of the program, important dates for stakeholders, including the FIRA and SPR approach for 2023. On February 16th, we will hold our annual in-person user training on CalCOP at the Alameda County EOC. So as a reminder, one of the key ways that we use CalCOP is to maintain information on the critical infrastructure in the region. A new project that I want to highlight is how BART and Capital Corridor are adding their rail assets and systems to CalCOP, specifically for use by local fire departments. So the idea is to give first responders access to non-public system maps, response procedures, other asset details, and also provide a secure mechanism to share critical incident response information. So there are fire departments across the regions that have already been engaged and have access, including Oakland, San Francisco, Alameda County, Central County Fire, Contra Costa, a number of others, and BART is actually working directly with fire departments and setting up trainings, I think, starting later this month in January. Let's see, continuing on, so other critical infrastructure parts of the risk management program. So between now and the asset update deadline that you see here, April 15th, we are asking jurisdictions to conduct their annual asset review, fill in missing information on on the assets in their jurisdiction. Each year, the NCRIC highlights a specific asset sector that they're going to focus on, and this year's focus will be on adding to CalCOP faith-based and community-based organizations that may be potential targets to threat actors because they represent the Bay Area's diverse ideological, sociological, political, and religious communities. And of course, in addition, as they always do, they're going to, NCRIC will continue coordination and outreach with utility partners, local law enforcement agencies, critical infrastructure protection specialists to mitigate vulnerabilities to our critical utilities. And then finally, program highlights. So one of the most important elements of the risk management program is the DHS risk profile. Actually, last slide. All right, it's fine. You can go. That's fine. And that's been brought up in recent approval authority meetings in regards to DHS's proposed changes to the criteria. So we will continue to advocate for the Bay Area to ensure that our risk rankings don't diminish. Actually, if you could go to the last slide, sorry, the previous slide, not the last one, the previous one. So one of the ways that you can help us is by providing information on special events anticipated in 2024, because that soft target metric where the special events feed into, it's one of the very few opportunities that GHS gives us to influence our risk score. And so I'll be reaching out to jurisdictions along with the NCRIC, who leads this effort to collect information on next year's anticipated special events. So we'll need to submit those by June 17th. Next slide, please. We updated the THIRA in 2022. So another full update isn't required until 2025. The SPR is, however, required annually, so we'll go through that process of assessing all the capability targets, which includes quantitatively estimating our current capability, describing our capability gaps, and coming up with gap-closing strategies. And as we did last year, you know, gather that input through our regional work groups via meetings and surveys and worksheets, and then as well as additional virtual meetings with our subject matter experts. And the next slide, I think, is my last slide. If anybody has on the board any questions.
Thank you, Amy. Any questions from the board? Okay, I don't see any. We can move on to public comment. Please go ahead, Mr. Beekman.
Hi, Fred Beekman here. Thanks for this item. Over the past few years, I've been pretty worried if we possibly, in the Bay Area, there may be an upcoming earthquake in the Bay Area. So I've been trying to find ways to just say very politely a public comment time. Are we having an earthquake in 2023? And by asking that question, it can hopefully get yourselves in mind about what you think may be happening, and that can make it easier for you to talk with others about it. I don't think it may be happening at this point. I think it was around, but we've taken the steps to mitigate the possibility of an earthquake in 23, which I thank you for. And I think we have to continue to work on those steps to mitigate the potential of an earthquake happening in 23, and we have to be open about that. And I'm learning how to do that for the first time. So thank you for your patience with me and trying to ask those sort of questions. And it's with that, I think 2023 and 24 really can be years overall that we return to catastrophic planning and emergency community planning as opposed to law enforcement. And good luck how to work towards that new balance in the next couple of years. Whatever may be happening. I don't think there'll be an earthquake, but if there is, as part of the whole process, good luck how we can be preparing for that in the next few years. I think it's more interesting work and is more important to ourselves and involves the community more. And to also note, as we are planning for such things, that law enforcement, you know, it doesn't have to be in the driver's seat of that planning. It's health and human services. It's talking to, you know, our community outreach agencies. You know, it's setting up a life in those terms that really adds to the reimagined process, as law enforcement can have a more set role in knowing what their job can be to set up and prepare for such things. It's health and human services and community participation. It's that dialogue that will take real creative effort and good practices to really want to do. And so I think it's more important to always be more focusing on such things in ways to think and work. And good luck how we can do that in this coming year, in the next few years. And thanks for your patience again. Yeah, thanks again for your patience and just hearing me out and trying to offer my own worries about the upcoming years and how to not be sure, but to ask yourselves and to create that sort of space of just good open dialogue. Thank you.
Okay, so this is not a approval. I mean, this is not this is an agenda item that does not need us to take action on it. So we'll move up to the next one, which is the spending report. I believe Tristan is presenting. Yes. Hello, Tristan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. The report that I have for you for this morning on FY21 spending is a discussion item only. The standard performance period for our FY21 project has expired. All extension requests that we received have been granted. Spending has been quite low for most jurisdictions, except for Oakland at 74%, Santa Cruz at 78%, and Livermore at 93%. The status reports are going to be released in February next month, so we urge our jurisdiction to speak to our program management team to discuss any pointers for the successful completion of your project. So most projects have been extended to June 30, 2023. Some of them are enjoying up to September 30, 2023. I acknowledge and appreciate the public comment made earlier on our financial reports. And I just wanted to mention that we strive to provide fiscal transparency at all times. I think that's it for my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Tristan. Any comments from the board? All right. I'm not seeing any. We can move to public comment on this item. Go ahead, Mr. Beekman.
Hi, Webb Beekman here. Thanks a lot for the words of Tristan Lovardo. I'm confident that the way you guys work, you will eventually come around with good, better accounting examples of the new 18% and 10% budget from the federal level that's now being offered. It's been kind of an awesome gift in a way that I hope that you can learn how to make really good accounting skills that are public and shown well as part of that gift. And you guys usually do come through in that way. So thank you for that. And I'm just eagerly waiting just to see how and when you can do that. So good luck to yourselves. Thank you. I wanted to note you did offer on this a couple items of national funding that I thought was interesting. There were low amounts, but they were to Board of Education counties of Board of Education that I felt probably had something possibly to do with CBE things and related hopefully to educational things that I hope can be an important feature of CBE is to really concentrate on this educational process. So thanks for that brief explanation. I hope this can be more in depth in the future. I hope you can work to make the funding of projects for each hub. You usually had a nice way to show that in about June each year, what projects hubs actually wanted to go for, what different cities in each hub wanted to go for. You stopped doing that, and I hope you can restart that as a part of good openness and accountability practices. And it works towards ideas of peace, actually, and not war when you do those sort of things. And I think that should be an important factor, how to consider our issues in our decision-making. Good luck in that effort. And I had one more thing to add really quickly. It was about, I can't remember what I was thinking about now, funding. It has just escaped my memory, but just an overall thank you, and a thank you that for the person who notes the new practice of at 30 seconds, when I have 30 seconds remaining, it helps me a lot. I was a bit on shaky ground in the past, and I would have to kind of navigate the and figure that out for myself. I think I did pretty well, but for her announcing 30 seconds to go, it actually is a help to me. Thank you.
Okay, so that pretty much wraps up our formal, most of our meeting agenda items.
Do you guys have a meeting?
I'm allowed here for another 10 minutes.
No.
Okay. Just 1 second. One moment. Okay, so we are going to just announcements to for the good of the order. It's completely up to you, colleagues, but we do have a little bit of time. And if there's anything you'd like to share about your response to these storms, I'm sure we would welcome it. Mr. Beekman, do you mind turning off your camera? Thank you. And then do you mind turning off your camera, Mr. Beekman? Thank you. So and approval authority, feel free to turn yours on. Dana, I see your hand up. I'll just say for San Francisco, we've been, as I'm sure most of you have, in response mode since New Year's Eve. Today is kind of the first day that we are having a break. And so we're still working and regrouping and trying to get some disaster service workers in order. Why don't we take down the slide, Scott, so we can just have a conversation? That'd be great. Thanks. And so we are, we also declared an emergency. So we are activating our disaster service worker program and calling out for some more help. By the way, UAZI partners, general manager staff will be looking at you a little bit. More rain is coming. I want to hear from the rest of you more than San Francisco. We've been very lucky. We have not lost any lives in spite of 2 muni buses full of passengers getting hit on 2 days ago with massive trees. It was a miracle. Everyone got out without any injuries. A lot of damage, but I feel like thus far, knock on wood, we've done okay. I do want to just share that my colleague who runs emergency management for Harris County, Texas, he and I have been talking, Mark Sloan, for folks that might know him. And he's like, you guys are getting basically what are tropical hurricane conditions. You know, they're not calling them that, but that's more or less what we're getting. And it was like really a kind of an eye opener to me. Obviously climate change makes things so hard. I mean, it's been fires, heat, and now these storms, and it's the flooding is something I've been worried about for the last year. And then here it is. So I just want to say, our emergency managers are amazing. Our operational crews are incredible. I know we're so proud of them. And also everybody's really, really tired at this point. So I'll open it up now. Dana, why don't you go ahead? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, echo everything you just said. So we're doing okay in Santa Clara County. We are still activated at level 2 partial. So our teams continue to work through all the issues. We're getting a bit of a break like everybody today. The weather's pretty nice. It's actually blue sky down here. Hard to believe how we go from one to the other so quickly in this valley. But working aggressively now on damage assessment and safety assessments. We've been collecting our initial damage estimates. And I'm not sure where we're at exactly this morning, but I know we're well in excess, probably of $30 million so far. We've been submitting all of our stuff to Cal OES recovery, and I suspect many things will continue to trickle in. So we're going to remain activated through the weekend. We don't know that we'll have night ops, but we will have a team always available for night ops if necessary. We'll be connecting with the Weather Service today to get the latest updates and modeling. Of course, we also have Valley Water here that we stay very closely connected with for all the streams, rivers, and reservoirs. So, yeah, just like Mary Ellen Carroll said, folks have been doing an amazing job. We got an amazing team down here. Our EMs have really put themselves out there. We've been working incredibly long hours. We were able to dispatch, deploy through the EMA system, a senior emergency planning coordinator to Sacramento County early on in the month. She just returned yesterday after spending 9 straight days in the EOC. So I'm giving her a break today and give her a chance to get rested up. But we actually were lamenting that we really wanted to send folks down to Monterey County as well. I've got vacancies and I had folks gone, and I just couldn't get another body to be able to send down to Monterey. But we were definitely thinking of you. So for folks that supplied people out of their jurisdictions to support our other partners with EMA, thank you. Thank you very much for that. I know it's always a stretch and always difficult when you're trying to also take care of your own jurisdiction during these emergencies. Madam Chair and Rich, congratulations to you both on continuing to provide the leadership to this team and to the op area and to the Bay Area and to UASI. And that is it for me, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dana. I appreciate it. Anyone else? Everybody's too tired to talk about it.
This is Ray Reardon from the city of San Jose.
Yeah, please, Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, we've been activated since December 30th, monitoring the storms. We saw them coming in for the New Year's, and what a way to welcome the New Year's. And by the way, please, everyone, stop your rain dances. We don't need this much more rain. We did maintain a remote operation, switching between remote operations in the EOC as well as in person. We ran 2 24-hour shifts for 3 days. We ran the 24-hour shifts. So we had a very active program. It was a good training opportunity for staff who had not had the complete training through COVID, so it gave them a much more experience in the EOC. We did unfortunately have a death early on in the process. And when we did declare an emergency on the 3rd, we did put an evacuation order out along our waterways because of the unhoused encampments that we have in those areas. That would allow us to do the public safety engagement and support. We did activate 2 shelters now. We started with 1, and that reached capacity of over 116 people and 5 dogs. And then we opened a second shelter, which looks like it'll reach capacity either today or tomorrow. Of another 100, in fact, no, excuse me, we had 200 capacity at that site. So we do see a significant effort going on there. And as part of the program of the shelter operations, we're making sure that because of the conditions and the residents are coming in, we're making sure we have all the wraparound services, counseling, housing transition programs that we're trying to staff up in order to provide the support that they need to remain out of the creek as soon as possible. So we're working on some support programs there. Otherwise, yes, it's been wet, and we welcome the relief today, and go Niners. That's my report.
Thank you, Ray.
Keith Boyd in Monterey. We've been, in essence, active since the 30th. Sheriff Nieto was sworn in on the 30th at 5 o'clock, and I was sworn in at 5:01 right behind her. And we've been pretty much on the go since. We've had 5 of our county rivers, in essence, with evacuation orders along the river basins. Over the course of this, we've had flooding in the Carmel, Lower Carmel, Upper Carmel Valley. We've had flooding in Big Sur, flooding in South County. We appreciate all the resources that are coming from elsewhere in the region and state. We've had a lot of support from OES, Cal OES, National Guard, and other aspects. And we're on levee watch in one area, and we're expecting rising rivers. So the weather service, as good as they do their to keep us informed, it's still unpredictable because the models change and have been changing every hour. It seems like the model is different. So we're enjoying the day. We're going to try to get some staff some rest today, but we fully expect that by tomorrow and through the weekend, we'll be gearing up for higher waters. So thanks for all your support.
Thank you. Yeah, we wish, you know, really wish everyone the best of luck. And I know that we'll all provide whatever support we can to each other. And unfortunately, we're all somewhat in the same boat, no pun intended, a boat that's needed with this rain. So I also think, like, and this is just directed to the management team, once we get through rainy season, you know, there's going to be a lot of lessons learned and just like really rich regional information that I hope that we have an opportunity to collect and, you know, then redistribute. Again, I suspect that we're looking at a little bit of the new normal, both with the amount of rain, but also the unpredictability of it. And so, you know, as Keith described, so bear with us, but, you know, we're all also here for each other. So, you know, I just encourage us to reach out. We're all colleagues and to support each other. I know that I have gotten a lot of support even from Texas as we are experiencing some sort of weird, not California really weather. So, you know, look out and take it where you can. So before we adjourn, we have one more opportunity for the public to weigh in on any of these on general comment. And so we'll open that up. Go ahead, Mr. Beekman.
Hi, Blair Beekman. Thanks a lot for the meeting today. Thanks a lot for this for the last item. Just asking around how everyone's doing and how they've been doing. I really hope 2023 can be a good return of, you know, community planning in terms of, you know, emergency preparedness, disaster preparedness, and that can be a real important focus for ourselves in this coming year, next few years. With that said, I guess as always, I just hope, you know, if we casually consider that it's my personal feeling that the name of UASI possibly has come from a place on an international level that may be questionable. I'm not sure, but if it is, I hope that we can question it and want to be considering what is a more American U.S. sounding name and purpose of the sort of work that we do in the future. That I think we all are open to consider that sort of option and to have some creative choices in naming new names, I think can be helpful to really continue the future of this group. And that it's an interesting group. If it is going to continue or not, I think we should have a better name planned for a long-term longevity of the program, I feel. So with that all said, thank you for the meeting today. And I guess see you in a few months in March. Thank you.
All right. I believe that I can adjourn the meeting. Is that right, team?
Yes, someone it's adjourned.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm. Good luck in the coming days. Please reach out if you need any help from San Francisco. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Bye, everybody.